RadioInfluence.com.
National Security Agency.
Well, you'd be working on the cutting edge. You'd be exposed to the kind of technology that you wouldn't see anywhere else because we've classified it. Super string theory, chaos math, advanced algorithms.
Code breaking.
Well, that's one aspect of what we do.
Oh, come on. I mean, that is what you do. You guys handle 80% of the intelligence workload. You're 7 times the size of the CIA.
We don't like to brag about that, Will. But you're exactly right. So the way I see it, the question isn't, why should you work for the NSA? The question is, why shouldn't you?
Why shouldn't I work for the NSA? It's a tough one. But I'll take a shot. Say I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, and maybe I break it. And I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army
in North Africa or the Middle East. And once they had that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed. Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices, a cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work, he can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids, and meanwhile he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker State. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better. I figure, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to his sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. I could be elected president.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210-story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
pill. Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy red can't pill, function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You had to let it all go?
Take the red pill.
Fear.
911truth.org.
Doubt.
WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
We're broadcasting from the basement of the science building. We hope to be heard by as many as 100 people at a time.
Son of a bitch.
Hello, internets. I've missed you.
Seriously, have you missed me?
Don't lie to me. Look me in the eye and tell you you've missed me.
No, you haven't, have you?
You can tell the studio's still covered in dust. And welcome to Dangerous Conversation, RadioInfluence.com. I don't know if this shit's good working. Sounds all right, I guess. Coming back from the only thing I can think of is it's an older book. It's a Stephen King novel. It's called The Stand. Ever read The Stand or saw the miniseries that sucked because the films are never as good as books? Yeah, that guy. You know, well, everybody got sick and just had that nasty lung butter and they were just coughing up. Hear it? I ain't faking that. That's real. I feel like one of those characters is going to, like, drown in his own phlegm in the stand. Maybe, I can't figure it out if it's I'm getting older and or the flu's getting stronger, and I'm more apt to go with the first one. You know, my immune system's not what it used to be, and it seems like every year, and I don't mean this on like a perverted 8-year-old way, but I get sicker and sicker. I do. I just do. It's like, shit. One of these days, I'm just going to like, I'm going to get the flu and I'm going to like die walking my dog in a park or something. What the fuck? Sucks. Didn't get a chance to do either. I do 2 shows a week. I didn't do, and I don't know. I don't even know how this one's going to last. I got so much stuff to get to. It's like when you take a week off from doing a show, what do you get backlogged with content, and you go, oh, man, I got to do a lot of stuff. So welcome to Dangerous Conversation right here. It is out on the ledge studios as I look behind me. Every show I do, I add a piece of feng shui. It might just be like over here is like, you know, I don't want to get into it. Just basically you surround yourself with your past so you don't feel so bad. God, I can't even remember the last show I did. That's that, you know, when you haven't done a radio program in 2 weeks, I do some terrestrial stuff on the weekends, and it's just, you know, kind of a, what they call classic hits or old top 40, you know, it's kind of a no brainer. You talk over songs, yeah. But when you got to get back into the grind of doing a talk show, it's like, this is the shit that saves your life. Taking notes and saving a bunch of websites and everything. So we'll be doing that. But I don't know. I'm trying to think how to set it up. Maybe there should be like a phlegm police that come by. When I've reached my limit of phlegm, we can go to a song. It's like, man. When I used to get sick when I was younger, I'd have the flu for 3 days. Now I have it for 2 weeks. But, you know, I asked around. I said, like, did you get sick? Oh, yeah, I've had a flu, too. How long did it last? Oh, I had it in my lungs for 3 weeks. And I'm thinking, is it the viruses? They're getting more powerful? Because I don't do antibiotics. I don't do any of that stuff. I can't. I can. I refuse to. Because every time you take an antibiotic, you actually, it's kind of like hamstringing your own immune system. You're not going to be stronger against germs, you're going to be weaker. So I revolt against that kind of stuff. And as I grow, you know, I'm well into middle age. Yeah. Fuck, I hate to admit that. It sucks. But I am. So, you know, is it the strain of flu? Is it my immune system? Is it the combination of the two? Well, all I know is last week, it's like a phlegm factory. It's like at the peak of, if there was like in the 50s, you had automobile factories and the military industrial complex was building bombers. And right next door, there was a phlegm factory. And I was like, oh, we're producing 58 tons of phlegm a day. Yeah, that's how I felt. And I'm like, wait a minute, I still have I put it behind the mixer. Mucinex and Tylenol and NyQuil and all this stuff. All it does is just make you super loopy. And it's like, man, I can't even see straight. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that illegal drugs deliver. These are legal ones. So I was, incapacitated from last Monday to about this Monday. So basically, 7 straight days, I felt like crap. Man, I feel like crap. Ugh. You know what? You know, men can be all, oh, we're tough, we're macho, we do this, we invented this, we've killed food and made it into bacon. We're men. You know what? We're big fucking babies when we're tired, when we're sick. We want our mommies. We do. And man, did I want my mommy. And then you get to the point where you're not getting any sicker. but you're not getting any better. And that's where you get frustrated. Because when I was a kid and I couldn't go to school, it was kind of fun to hear the school bus go by and know that I wasn't on it. Like, hey, I'm sick and I'm not going to go to school today. Yay! And all of a sudden you hear the bus drop kids off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they're all running around in the yards playing. That's the part that sucks. So you're not technically sick enough to be sick, and you're not well enough to be well. You're in sick limbo where you can't go anywhere and you can't do anything. All you can do is... You're just like this phlegm factory. So I'm just coming out of that now. Just now. What's up, baby? My dog, the industrial strength. Oh, you give me kisses. She give me kisses. SGT. Do I have something on my hand, or are you just being friendly? Well, maybe there's something there. I am the proud owner of a gorgeous chocolate lab. And every time I do this show, she does something. The moment I start talking to myself, because we're in a bedroom, and she'll look at me and she'll go like, okay, he's talking to himself. I need this to be about me. Now, a couple of weeks ago, she just went down on her own vagina for 10 straight minutes. I was like, man, I have to applaud that, because when you think about that, just think about that. If you could, you would. So I had to applaud it. Now she's just like half between, I'm extremely tired because Daddy took me to the park today. Now Daddy's talking to himself out loud in a small room. I have no idea what an internet podcast is all about, but I do know that he has an exuberance and an excitement in his voice, and I'm going to make it about me. Do you hear that? That was the exclamation point. So I would say, you know, people say, how you feeling? Oh, I heard you were sick. My girlfriend's out on the road doing what she does. I haven't seen her. Oh, okay. I've seen her twice. We did the friend hug. I hugged her and stuck my head in one direction. She stuck her head in the other direction. I was like, baby, I can't get you sick. You got to go on the road and work. And she's like, yeah, I miss you. And I'm like, yeah, I miss you. And you're like, and I'm like, come see me. No, I'm going to get you sick. And if you get sick, it's going to suck. And I'm going to feel bad. Damn. Jerry Petock, back at the headquarters of Radio Influences, told me I sound like a phlegmy Tasmanian devil. Yeah. So when you want to do good content, yeah, okay, what do you think is lesson one? You got to fucking be able to breathe. You have to breathe before you can deliver words. Inhaling. Before you can exhale, you have to inhale. And I'm like, I can barely breathe. I got to do a couple podcasts this week. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get this done. It's not going to happen. Just wait till next week. So what happens? Stories backpile. And you get to, you know, doing a 10-minute rant here that's killing time. And I don't want to kill time. I want to get to a bunch of stories. I've got too many saved. Now, I know I've committed to two-hour broadcasts at RadioInfluence.com on Wednesday nights at 8 Eastern. But I'm saying if I go a little late, just be ready for it. There's so much to get to. Hey, okay, I talked about your exploits of being able to do that, okay? You don't need to do that anymore, okay? Get a male boyfriend. He'll take care of you. You want to go outside on the couch? Yeah? All right. Every show. This dog knows I'm doing a pod. I'm kidding. Listen. Hey, come here. Get over here. Just so people know you're here, I'm going to make you speak. Come here. Get over here. Sit down. Sit. Ready? Hey, speak. You heard me. Speak. 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 See? Just so you know, I'm not making it up. This dog owns me. She fucking owns me. And now she lays down like she's all tired. And now she's satisfied. Like, Daddy acknowledged me. I got to be on the radio. Girl, I got a show to do. So it's great to be back. As Radio Influence continues to add more talent to its lineup, it's going to build a juggernaut of internet podcasting. It is great to be part of this. It's great to look at the download numbers I'm receiving monthly. Every month has gone up. And all I can say is, seriously, this is a great thing to be part of. I'll get to my terrestrial ebb and flow, we'll call it that, a little later in the program. Also got Carlin's Corner with a new guy I stumbled upon named Steve Hughes. We got some unsigned bands to play tonight. Got a lot to get to. But I want to play you about, let me see, this is 26. I want to play you about the first 4 to 5 minutes of two people I admire. One is Chris Hedges. Now, Chris is a Pulitzer Prize winning author. He's written about almost every deep politic type topic you can talk about. And he's done it from first person narrative. In other words, if he talked to you about terrorists, Chris Hedges actually was that guy going to a terrorist camp, interviewing them and getting a certain side of a story that maybe you haven't heard, which is what I believe the mainstream media should do. But of course, they don't do. Now, Chris has really developed quite a following because I'm a fan of two things, intellect and balls. Okay? If you've got a brain and you can do your own discernment on a topic and then you have the nads to speak about it out loud and not worry about repercussions or backlash or blowback, you earn my respect. And Chris Hedges did that a while ago. When I started Dangerous Conversation a couple of years ago, we were on a different network. I actually had, you know, during the 2012 election, had about, a 12-minute window to interview Jill Stein. Now, she's from the Green Party. And most people say Jill who, Green what? That's because we are subject to the two left versus right paradigm, the dog and pony show that we think is real politics. And we're going to get a little deeper into that. About voting fraud and things like that in a little while. But I wanted you to hear Chris ask her a couple questions and her response. By the way, yes, she's running for president. You can vote for this person. You know what I'm saying? It's not a big deal. So check it out. This is actually Chris's own podcast.
I've been terrorized.
That's not Chris. There's no way he can sing that good. Chris is whiter than I am.
Hammer all my day.
You know what I'm saying? And Chris's vocabulary is like, okay, here we go. His show, by the way, is called Days of Revolt. All right? If you're curious about Chris, when an intellect meets politics, that's what I'll put it. Check out some of this, and we'll be back in a few.
Hi, I'm Chris Hedges. Welcome to Days of Revolt. We're going to explore in this segment the political landscape, especially the current presidential campaign.
Doesn't he sound smarter than me? See, that's the thing. Chris is like super intelligent. I'm more of the entertainer. Chris needs a little bit more of me, and I need a lot more of him.
And what impediments are thrown up by the two major parties, and in particular the Democratic Party, that essentially keep the system hostage to corporate power. In the second segment, we're going to explore the solution.
Not tonight, we're not. No, tonight I'm going to just lather you in bad news. That's my gig.
And to discuss these two issues with me is the Green presidential candidate, Dr. Jill Stein. Thank you, Jill.
Great to be here, Chris.
So let's begin with the nature of what some have called the dark state, how it operates, how it works, because every facet, whether it's electoral politics, whether it's legislation, whether it's the courts, whether it's the mass media, has been completely seized by corporate power. And in many ways, a chief executive like Obama is beholden to those interests. There's very little influence on them. How do you look at the American political system?
What do you think she'll say? I would like to think that she'll say, well, you know, it's got a good heartbeat and there's a few things wrong. Listen to what this woman says. And again, I'm not telling you how to vote. And the next piece of audio I'm going to play you has to do with the folks from MIT hacking voting machines and being able to hack voting machines. So if you listen to Dangerous Conversation, you're going to start to understand that I very much see the Matrix for what it is, and I doubt its authenticity. And that makes it people sound like, oh, I'm not going to vote, or I'm not going to do this because you're lazy, or you don't want to participate in the system. But if you think the system is rigged, or if you know the system is rigged, and this is how these two people will talk about this, and then you come to your own conclusions. Don't let these two people make up your mind, but ask yourself after tonight's show, really, seriously, does my vote matter? With Hillary already having a whole bunch of super delegates, whatever the fuck that means, versus Bernie, who's won as many states as her, you know, that kind of thing. Is the system stacked against a true republic slash democracy? Most people that are paying attention definitely think so. Listen to Dr. Stein here.
It is extremely corrupt. It serves the interests of oligarchy. It puts people, planet, and peace. It subjugates those critical things to profit. We have a political system which is funded and therefore accountable to predatory banks and fossil fuel giants and war profiteers. And those are the interests it serves. Those are the policies it creates. And it has, you know, it's sort of like an amoeba that oozes its way into all aspects of the system. In the words of Chief Justice Louis Brandeis a century ago, you can either have a democracy or you can have vast concentrations of wealth. You can't have both. And we have a system, whether you call it corporate capitalism or corporatism or just plain greed, whatever you call it, we have a system that systematically puts profit over everything else. And it continues to spiral out of balance in a way that now puts us all in the target hairs. And I think that's the sort of exciting thing about this moment that we'll get to in part two. But it's reached a level where no one, except for really the 1% or perhaps the 5%, but no one now is out of danger. We're imperiled in a very clear and direct way, whether you're talking about an entire generation of young people who are locked into debt for the foreseeable future, the decline of wages, the true joblessness that actually exists, the foreign policy of total economic and military domination that's blowing back at us now catastrophically, the immigrant human rights disaster as 60 million people were forced to migrate over the past year alone. I mean, and the climate is in meltdown.
Right.
So in some ways, we're in this kind of magical moment. It's an existential moment, which is very personal and very real. So it has enormous potential, I think, for transformation. The question is, which way is it going to go?
Right, but
I don't like patting myself on the back, but I have said, you know, when you look at everything that's in the crosshairs, everything that, you know, the roads are meeting, the forks in the road are taking place. What will you choose? Look at what's happening in politics. Look what's happening within our own country and ask yourself, is this not an amazing time to be alive? Because this is either going to, you know, I always call it the cruise ship. If life is going to turn around, the momentum that oligarchs, military-industrial complex, prison-industrial complex, big pharma, big oil, everything that Dr. Stein mentioned, they have this momentum going in one direction. Picture that big cruise ship. If it's going to iceberg, dead ahead, if it's going to turn, it takes a while. But what will cause the turn? And the only thing to me, I call it a trigger event or the bottoming out, one of those two things, maybe both, will take place. What will be the bottoming out moment where enough people go, you know what, I need to pay attention because CNN is owned by the same oligarchy that wants to create cruise missiles because they're the same company invested in the same General Dynamics contractor, Boeing or whoever, or Raytheon. It's the same people invested in the same outcome, perpetual war and profit. It's not about bettering the world. It's definitely not bettering about the world. It's not about the lifting essentially half the population, about 3 billion people, out of poverty to at least having homes and fresh water, maybe some electricity, maybe even some medical care. If the world is going to move to a better place, it's because the masses achieve that. They move from one step to the next. The world's success isn't about Wall Street. Now, they use that as a measuring tool every time. Oh, you know, it's at 16,000. It was at Wall Street has nothing to do with 95% of us. That's not a measurement of the betterment of life. What is the measurement of betterment of life is less stress, less debt, less people turning to drugs. And I'm open-minded about drugs, but turning to drugs because their life sucks. The splitting of families, all of the negative fracturing. That's a good word to use. It's fracturing because that's what they do versus the opportunity to say, well, we need more green energy. And we need to stop spending so much money on the war machine. We spend as much as the next 16 countries combined in war every year. Think about that. 16 countries on one side, us, we spend more than them. And by the way, most of them are our allies. So war is for profit. It's not about, you know, I mean, if the world were maybe 90 times bigger and, you know, the empires hadn't conquered every piece of it, I'd say, well, I can see the expansion of empire. Therefore, now we just got 900 military bases across the world. 56% of our budget is spent on war. When will we hit the brakes? When will we look at ourselves and go, as a species, this is not going to work out well? We are headed in the wrong direction. Well, what makes that direction keep going? A system that's controlled. Now, you all believe, like in the movie They Live, if you don't have the sunglasses on, everything, oh, I live in a democracy and I'm free. Well, the world in the last decade has said no. A military state, a militarized police state that's rising, the NDAA, the Patriot Act, grandma getting groped at airports, so on and so on and so forth. Your world is disintegrating. It's declining. It's not expanding. You're not having more in your world. You're having less. And that's control. And that's what oligarchs want. Well, the way they do that is they present a system to you, the left-right paradigm that we see in the so-called election process, that says, oh, yeah, everything's great, man. You know, Bernie's over here and Hillary and Trump's over there. It's a dog and pony show. It's a dog and pony show. Those people are superficial. They don't have any real power. Now, they have power within the state, but they don't have the real power. And the people outside the system, that's like Neo looking back on the Matrix and going, oh, I recognize it as the I recognize the system for what it is now. When you can see it clearly, you can see through almost anything anybody says in mainstream media. And Jill Stein is not on a mainstream media program. That's why she's able to say the things she just did.
And how are we going to make that happen?
And it's that old essay by Rosa Luxemburg, Revolution or Reform. When you have all of the major institutions captured by a tiny elite, power elite, a cabal, whether that's an oligarchic cabal or fascist cabal, it doesn't matter.
A lot of people call that the New World Order, or they call it the Illuminati. They give it different names, but when power consolidates, it's just like the mob. It's just like Goodfellas. It's just like the Godfather. You know what? Gangsters stopped killing each other because they realized they were making less money. They realized if they all just cut up the piece of pie and everybody got one, nobody dies and everybody makes cash. Versus everyone's fighting for the same giant piece of pie. Well, what do you think industrialized corporations do? They do the same thing. You know what? I'm not going to be able to overtake you in Southeast Asia. So why don't we sign something called the Trans-Pacific Partnership? You'll get your piece and I'll get mine. And we won't have to go to battle in the bank system anymore. We don't want to have to undermine each other with tariffs and taxes or trying to go after each other's unions. We'll get along and we'll both make money. That's a cabal. That's an oligarchy. That is a New World Order. I don't care what you fucking call it. It's powerful people sitting in the same room and cutting up your world into their pieces. That's what it is. And if you can't see that, you're naive. If you think Trump or Hillary or any little walking, talking puppeteer has the real power in this planet, you're blind. You're blind. And by the way, you're listening to the wrong show.
Essentially, shifts the focus of all of those institutions to serving that tiny elite at the expense of the citizenry. And that machinery is key, so that if you're running elections, in some ways it doesn't matter, because these forces have captured these institutions and systems of control.
I'm going to stop it there. And Chris is starting to explore, what did we say? Chris is starting to question the voting process itself. Do you trust electronic voting machines? Go into a little booth, got the little curtain behind you, little touch screen, just like you're at Home Depot or McDonald's. You're like, I want a double cheeseburger. I want trice. Okay, I want Hillary. Your finger's touching some plastic, screen. And you trust that machine and some little, remember, everything in computers is ones and zeros. They can hack my laptop. They can hack an account owned by Sony. You think they can't hack a voting machine? You know how simple a voting machine is? It's like Pong. Blip. There's a blip on the left. Blip. There's a blip on the right. Blip, blip. Oh, and all it does is add up those little blips. You don't think they can't hack that? Well, guess what? Here's some testimony from someone in a courtroom about the... And by the way, it's kind of funny. This is the kind of stuff you will never see on mainstream media. Boy, that was good. I love it when they time out like that. You will never hear this kind of talk on MSNBC or Fox or CNN or any of the stooges. Check this out.
Dean Curtis.
And where do you reside?
Tallahassee, Florida.
And what is your profession?
I'm a computer programmer.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I worked for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49.
51-49. You think you're going to see a Hillary Bernie 51-49 in those tight states? Just 0.5%. Oh, it's just a horse race, ladies and gentlemen. This is politics at its best. This is a man who designs computer programs standing in a giant courtroom in front of a judge talking about the idea that a computer program can be designed to hack voting machines and flip it. In a close race, even if it's not close, they can make it look close. Or if it was, I don't know, Bernie 80, Hillary 20, they can just press a little button and tick, 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 bam, 51-49. Hillary wins a tight one, ladies and gentlemen. The state of Florida belongs to Hillary Clinton.
To whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
Did you hear that? They'd never see it. Yeah, what did the government just ask Apple to do? Give them a door? I'm your back door man. I love ZZ Top. I'm your back door man. Or no, is that the Doors? That's the Doors. That's the Doors. I'm sorry. Yeah, give him a back door. Who doesn't love a good back door once in a while? all you got to do. It's just like the Keymaster, you know, the second Matrix. He's walking down that hallway. There's a whole bunch of doors. And he goes, these are back doors. These are illegal entrances into a software. And where can they do that? In fucking... Wait a minute. I heard the phlegm. Did you hear it? In... oh. That's still got some good color to it. That's all I'm going to say. Back doors to voting machines.
Mister, would you answer that question once again?
Yeah.
You never see it.
So how would such a program, a secret program that fixes the election, how could it be detected?
You would have to view it either in the source code or you'd have to have a receipt and then count the hard paper against the actual vote total.
Okay. Which brings me to the topic many people have been talking about. What is wrong with having both? What is wrong with you having a little, I mean, you carry a lottery ticket in your pocket, do you not? You have a paper piece, you have a physical piece of evidence of what you've chosen. And, of course, you didn't win, but, you know, it's because you're an idiot. But you've got six numbers and a Powerball, and it's right, it's like, honey, look, this piece of paper, look at those numbers, those are magic. We are going to be billionaires. We're gonna buy our own island, and we're going to have your mom put to sleep, and it's all right here. It's awesome. You know what it is? It's physical evidence of your vote. You know why? Because when those things aren't around, you can do whatever you want to digital information. Now, I love the idea I can hold 10,000 pictures on my phone. That's, you know, that's cool. But you know what? The most important part of a republic or a democracy is your vote. And if you can tally your vote and then use, like, you know, like a little mimeograph. Remember mimeographs? Remember when he's like in third grade and they had that machine and you get the mimeograph? I love the smell of mimeographed and gasoline. Not together, but those were my two. Love that. Well, guess what? It's got my vote right there. Look who I'm voting for. Mr. Ron Paul. And no matter what they do to the machine, this is why what he says is you want to have both. You want to have a paper trail, because if there is a digital issue, you can go back, just like in Chadgate in 2000, and have a bunch of hardcore political stooges argue over Chads. But I'd rather have that argument than not. And this is a man, MIT, you know, up in Massachusetts there, you know, all those guys that get together and talk about astrophysics and quantum mechanics. Those guys hacked a voting machine in 5 minutes. Listen a little bit more, and then we're going to go to another story here.
Other than that, you won't see it.
All right, Mr. Curtis, if you had been asked... You or others with your professional expertise have been asked to design a protective program that would protect the Ohio elections from against such software to fix the election. Could you have done so?
If we've been asked to make a program that could fix the election, sure, anybody can do it.
No, could you have designed a program or a procedure or a protocol that would have protected Ohio against this kind of rigging?
No, you have to look at the source code. You have to get probably...
Hear what he said? It's easy to rig. It's difficult to detect. And by the way, they were called Diebold, D-I-E-B-O-L-D. They were in Ohio. They were manufactured there. They were voting machines. And the president of Diebold, what was he famous for saying? It's my duty to make sure George Bush wins Ohio. That's a quote from the guy who is the president of the voting machines. That's why you had to have the Supreme Court step in 2000 and say, you know what? Mr. Gore, Mr. Bush. We're going to give it to Mr. Bush. And normally the Supreme Court is never allowed to do this, nor will we ever be allowed to do it again. But we're going to do it this time. And we're going to give the presidency to George Bush. So not only can the machines be rigged, be careful who's wearing the robes. Are they naked under those robes? I always wonder what they're diddling with, what they're fucking around with. A couple more seconds of depression.
Programmers from both or all parties to look at the source code and determine if there's anything in there that shouldn't be there. I mean, it's a simple program. You're adding one to a person's total. It's 100 lines of code tops.
Are you aware of whether there was any protective action in Ohio against this kind of vote rigging through software?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You were not asked to assist in the development of any protective system, is that correct?
No, I was not.
In Europe, have you reviewed at all the election results in Ohio?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Given the availability of such vote rigging software and the testimony that has been given under oath of substantial statistical anomalies and gross differences between exit polling data.
Statistical anomalies. You know what they call that in other world? Fucking cheating. That's what they call it. That's what it is. A bunch of people sitting around worried about losing their own gigs, but they want to squeak the truth out to you. Well, they just can't come out and tell you, oh, yeah, system's rigged. Careful. Careful what you believe in. Because it's going to kick you in the ass. Okay. I'm thinking the first hour, I'll just depress the hell out of you. And the second hour, I'll give you some good news. Let me see here. I'm thinking I have so many stories saved. That's the problem when you haven't done a show in a while. And, nope, that's for later. See what I mean? There's just so many stories to get to here. Let's go with this one. Now, if you listen to Dangerous Conversation, you realize I'm a big fan of green energy. Not necessarily the green movement of energy, because the problem with green energy is there's always a dollar sign attached to it. What's it cost to produce? Who's going to subsidize it? Will it be subsidized? Will it fail on its own? Will it get the same amount of money that, let's say, big oil gets? Big oil still gets. Can you imagine big oil still getting subsidies? Yeah, they do. Billions. You know what subsidy, you know what that means? The government's adding some money to the till for that company so it won't go tits up. Okay. Well, you would think that worldwide there wouldn't be some type of dragnet that is anti-green energy, but it's called the World Trade Organization, the WTO. Now, you can Google World Trade Organization. You can Google Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and you will see that the WTO, doesn't this sound so beautiful? Oh, the World Trade Organization. Doesn't it just sound like it's like, you know, like the sky parts and the sunshine hits you and they're like, these people are here for all of us? Well, India, which of course has over a billion people, and then most of it is still a third world country, has decided to start to do things on its own. You know what? They decided, let's take some of that sunshine, turn it into energy, and then that energy will be prosperity in our country. Right? On the heels of the recent global summit in Paris to tackle climate disruption, the World Trade Organization has ruled against an important piece of climate solution puzzle of the India's ambitious program to create homegrown solar energy. Now, the ruling shows that decades-old overreaching trade rules, this is all about big coal, big oil, big natural gas, keeping their power, are out of sync with the global challenge to transition to 100% clean energy, which we'd all want. Ask anybody, would you like clean energy? They don't even have to have a clue what that sentence means, because clean and energy, they both make sense. So you could talk to a ditz in a beach walking around rubbing suntan oil on her titties, and guess what? She'll go, yeah, clean energy, that's awesome. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's a no-brainer. In just 5 years, thanks to India's National Solar Mission, that's what they call it, India has gone from having virtually no solar capacity. This is 5 years we're talking about. No solar capacity to boasting one of the world's fastest growing solar industries in the world. In just the last year, a parade of leading solar companies have announced plans to establish new factories in India to produce solar cells. Oops, look out, China. Look out, America. Somebody else actually gets to do their own thing, too. The parts of solar panels that use sunlight to produce electricity, otherwise known as PV or photovoltaic. India has named the solar program as a core component of its contribution to the Paris Agreement, because they're all worried about CO2 and taxing it, making money from it. India's like, screw that. Let's just do our own thing. Let's produce our own solar panels. Let's create our own electricity. Let's let our second and third world villages start to get these solar panels. They'll be able to pump water out of a pump or run a desal plant or, osmosis plant. You know, they'll be able to, basically, they will have less disease and more prosperity because of solar energy. Boom! No brainer. Well, but today the WTO released its ruling against India's National Solar Mission, deciding that India's efforts to boost local production of solar cells violated the WTO rules. India argued that the program helps the country to meet its climate commitments under the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, otherwise known as the UFCCC. The WTO rejected that argument. Indeed, the ruling body states that the domestic policy seen as violating WTO rules cannot be justified on the basis that they fulfill UNFCC. Didn't it sound like a bunch of crap when they started putting long sentences together? In effect, the WTO has officially asserted that antiquated trade rules trump climate imperatives. An entire country that's trying to better itself and better the world and bring their own prosperity and their own energy has been shot down by something called the WTO. Jeez, the World Trade Organization. Don't they sound so kind and gentle? We're the World Trade Organization. We're here to help you. No. We're to make sure you play by our rules, and the oligarchs can't have India being that energy independent, because what would that do to big oil and big coal and big natural gas? That's right. If you don't think politics isn't about people in power staying in power, you have no idea. The political agenda is never about a better world. It is about the betterment of the few and the powerful. It has been, and this is, they've invested trillions, they print the money on computers, so I can't even say they've invested it. But what I've said is they hold the real power. But they don't, because India can go, you know what, screw you, we'll do it anyway. We'll make our own solar energy panels. We'll have villages pumping their own clean water. We'll have less dysentery, less disease. We'll have more, if they have fresh water for their crops, we'll have less starvation. All because we're going to do it ourselves. You know what? WTO, stick it. And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see in this world the fracturing of the world of the what we call the New World Order. Earlier, we heard the, oligarchs, Chris Hedges and Dr. Stein talked about them. These are small groups
that already own the shipping and the trains, and they own most of the mineral rights on the planet. But you know what? They can't control the sun. And the sun is where, other than tides and geothermal, that's where all our energy comes from. And countries are starting to just flip the double tall boys and go, you know what? Kiss my ass. Oh, we care about our villages. We care about our people. Good for you, India. Power through it. That's the best part of this. The best part of being alive right now is having the internet and this broadcast and watching other people go, fuck off. You don't own us. You think you do? You don't. Watch us. Look at Germany. In 4 more years, Germany will be 100% solar powered. It's a tiny little postage stamp. It's the equivalent of Michigan on the map as far as latitude on the planet, as far as sunlight. And it's still kicking our entire country's ass because they decided to do their own thing. I love that. That's the best part of the internet. All right, ready for another story? So am I. All right, let's do some... Here we go. I'm going to do some quick stories on weed real quick for you. This is from NPR News. Minnesota, this is not cannabis, this is the hemp issue. Minnesota to try growing their own hemp. A construction company owner who also owns farmland in western central Minnesota is interested in the crop for its industrial qualities. I'm committed to grow on our farmland, and with all the benefits and uses, it's going to be incredible. Remember, fuel, fiber, food, the seeds are high in protein. It's a miracle plant. It's not a miracle plant. It's becoming a miracle plant because we've ignored it. The state just received a permit from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration for an industrial hemp pilot program. Good for the state of Minnesota. By the way, Kentucky's already on. Tennessee just signed on for this. We're seeing a lot of really good news. Here's some bad news. If you're a Girl Scout and you just got a bunch of boxes of cookies and you're going to like, man, Mom, where can I sell? I got like 8 crates of cookies. Where, honey, why don't you go set up your cookie store outside of the cannabis medical marijuana dispensary? Ding! I know, I don't have my bell ready. I'm sorry. I apologize. What a great idea, Mom. But, wait a minute, the Girl Scouts of America, aren't they associated like all the other bullshit corporations on the planet? Aren't they like restrictive and don't they have their bylaws and their bullshit? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, this might have a video if it's a YouTube. Yep, let's go with it. Here we go.
It's Girl Scout cookie season, and today some Albuquerque Scouts chose an interesting spot to do business. Something that might seem a little bit unconventional. Here's 13's Madeline Schmidt is here with
us. No way! You're coming out of a marijuana dispensary and there's some, like, Thin Mints? You're like the shark in Jaws 1, just like, you're like, you come up on the back of the boat and Quint's, like, slipping towards you and it's like a Thin Mint. And you're like, yeah.
Story, Madeline.
Well, Alex, it's not the first place you think Girl Scouts would sell their cookies, but sales from this afternoon proved, hey, it was a good idea.
We're selling cookies.
This junior Girl Scout and Brownie are on the ball, raking in the dollars one box of cookies at a time.
And give me one of these.
So where might...
And 5 of those, 10 of those.
...they be snagging all of these Thin Mint and Samoas craving customers? It's not outside your local grocery store.
Are Samoas the ones with the coconut? God, those are so good.
You do have the kind of the stereotype that comes with cannabis, and the munchies is one of them. So it's, you know, it kind of went hand in hand to kind of have them out here.
James Gambling is the manager at Ultra Health, a medical marijuana dispensary on Manal. It's the first time the Girl Scouts have sold cookies outside, and the dispensary invited them. Ultra Health has pledged to donate $1 for every box these Girl Scouts, Abby, and married.
How about that? The dispensary goes, you know what, girls? You, I'm so proud of you bringing the joy of Thin Mints to our patients that we're going to give you money too. But guess what the government said?
if you listen to a show like mine, you just expect the government to be Darth Vader, don't you? Don't you? You know, fuck you, Girl Scouts.
Jane, so.
Well, it is very ironic that she has the same name, but she was named after Spider-Man's girlfriend.
That irony seemed lost on the young girls. They were just happy to have the booming business.
And then?
And Mary Jane's dad says he sees nothing wrong with the girls setting up shop here.
Everybody's been happy to buy cookies, and they've given them lots of smiles.
We're told the money the dispensary will donate to the girls will go to a charity of the Scouts' choice. The girls sold more than 60 boxes today. Alex, back to you.
Doesn't that suck? They are prohibited, according to the government of, you know, just a damn shame. It's just a damn shame. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, against Girl Scouts. I'm not against cookies. I'm not against, I am pro-cannabis. But the whole idea that you can't set up the Girl Scouts, that's the organization that went after them and said, we can't be associated with marijuana or pot or whatever is going on. So I'm going to switch gears. No, I want, you know what? One of my favorites. Here's one of my favorites here. Real quick, I've worked in terrestrial radio since 80, Springfield, Mass. To about 87, down in Miami, 88. Over here in Tampa, St. Pete, started in 89. Went through Taft, and then, who was after Taft? It went Taft, then it went CityCasters, then it went J-Core, then it went Clear Channel. Okay, eventually ended up in the same building with this douchebag. Now, I used to see him in the hallways. I would have brief philosophical discussions with him, and then I realized that he's a stooge. Now, I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm not saying he isn't, like, if you walked up to him, if he'd be a dick to you. I am saying, I call him the weather vane. Whichever the way the world is blowing, okay, back in the early 80s when I knew him in the hallway, the 2000s, the weather vane was blowing towards bomb the brown people, and we got killed in 9/11. And his name is Glenn Beck. And I can remember him standing right there looking at me and shaking his head in disgust because somehow I didn't kiss his ass or agree with him. What he's become is the weather vane. He was conservative, then he leaned libertarian, then he was back to conservative, then he left the conservative party and the GOP. I'm no longer part of it. And now he's bitching and moaning that radio stations are canceling him. Is that not expected? As people age, as his audience ages and dies, as old, white, scared people in this country have nothing left to turn to except the red wing, right-sided, red meat. Did I say red wing? Right wing. Politics. And now more and more people are starting to see through the veil and say, you know what? Son of a bitch, this thing's been co-opted. The whole deal. But what if your large paycheck and your studio audience and your coworkers and this little machine you'd built was all connected to the illusion? What would you do? Would you eventually come clean? Forget about it. So what do? You blame other people because people are smelling your bullshit from a mile away now. You blame other people.
I don't know why we're in Nevada. I've been thinking about it all day. I don't know. I'm trying to do what I feel is the right thing and stand for the Constitution, but as always, we're under attack for doing what we think is the right thing. And found out today that stations want to cancel the show because they believe Donald Trump is going to be the next president, and they don't like to hear. They're getting complaints from Trump supporters about the show, and so some stations are talking about canceling the show, and you know, my business partners called today and said, you know, I just thought I'd let you know. And they said, we know you're not going to change anything. I'm like, no, I'm not going to change anything. And then I went to the caucus tonight, and I don't know how any of this helps. I mean, it's just bizarre. It is a bizarre experience to be out on the road, and to, especially with the Trump supporters, they're brown shirts.
That's a Nazi reference from Glenn Beck. This is a man. This is a man like drifting on a boat with no island to land on anymore. Because there's no consistency in this person. He claims to be religious or spiritual, and I got news for you. Spit in a different direction, his head will whip in that direction. That's how you can tell these people. They're not about integrity. They're not about the depth of what is right and what is humanistic. They are who's popular, who's not, what are my ratings, who doesn't like me. That's what Glenn Beck is.
Never witnessed anything like I saw today. It was just, it was grotesque and sad that Americans, I treat, these people are treating people like Obama supporters treated us. Just, I mean, the worst of the worst Obama supporters. It was like walking into Ferguson or walking into Baltimore. Wow. There's no reason. There's no common decency. There's nothing. It's just bizarre.
I think bizarre is a perfect word to describe him. To be honest with you. You've seen him. Don't get me wrong. The videos are out there. You know, he's going to surgery and he's crying. Okay, maybe the painkillers are kicking.
This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Sorry, guys. Just a wishy-washy, can't make up his mind. No, I take that back. I take both of it back. He's not wishy-washy, and he can make up his mind. He sits in focus groups, and those focus groups tell him, Glenn, you've just lost 18% Tea Party, and you've just lost 20% of GOP moderates. These are the people that direct the conversation on mainstream media. These are the people that millions of people tune to every week. And why? Because a focus group told you, oh, Glenn, you're going to have to change your mind. You're gonna have to endorse Donald Trump. The rest of the world's going with Donald Trump. If you need some, if we're gonna add radio stations and keep your network alive, I'd rather have nobody hear me, and at least have my goddamn integrity intact. Unreal. You know what? I'm not a. I don't do a ton of this, by the way. Let me pardon this. I'm sorry. Pause this.
Well, my wife is 5 months pregnant, and I'm for parental.
Didn't give me the pause button. There we go. I'm not a big anti-vax guy because I don't have children. And when I say I'm not a big anti-vaccination person, it doesn't mean I don't believe these arguments and stories shouldn't be talked about. And it doesn't mean that there might be a CDC whistleblower. And it doesn't mean that a lot of first-person parent accounts of children slipping into autism or some type of degradation of their own their brain power and so on and so forth because of shot number 57 or vaccination number 48. And I never want to tell anybody, you can't, like, much like, this is Rob Snyder. Now, Rob Snyder isn't a scientific person. But what Rob Snyder talks about in this video, and this is an older video, by the way, I just haven't played it yet on the show, is he makes a great reference to the idea of it's my body or my child. I decide what goes into me or what goes into my child. The state, and you'll hear him use that phrase quite extensively here in this little 4.5-minute video. He's like many of us. When will the government stop deciding for you? When will Big Pharma or doctors attached to that Big Pharma tit? Oh, you know, I'm a pediatrician. I got to give you shots. You know why? Because every time I stick your daughter with one of these things, I get kickbacks from the pharmaceutical industry. I make more money. That means I can get my boat and my house in the Hamptons. Or do you want a doctor going, wait a minute, what's in this? How many shots should I give to a tiny little baby with a tiny immune system? Where is the dividing line between what your child needs and what they want to give your child because of, as always on this show, profit, money? Listen to what Rob has to say about this. Again, he's not a neuroscientist, but what he's talking about is the same thing every person should say about their own body and certainly the bodies of their children.
Well, my wife is 5 months pregnant, and I'm for parental rights, not government coercion, telling us what we can do, what we can't do with our kids. There is no other mandated procedure. It's illegal.
By the way, one channel only, whoever recorded this, just so you know if you're listening.
You can't make people do procedure that they don't want. The parents have to be the ones who make the decisions for what's best for our kids. It can't be the government saying that. It's against the Nuremberg laws. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's against the state constitution, and it's against their own bylaws here. I mean, I've been reading some legislation that was passed years ago about they used to do state sterilizations, and they thought that that was a good thing, you know? So you can't let the state make the decisions. The people have to decide.
Did you hear what he said? The state decided whose ovaries they were going to get rid of. Or men, I'm not sure, maybe both. How far can a controlling mechanism reach into your life before you even notice, then before you get pissed, and then before you do something about it? Because it seems so slowly incremental in our government and in our history here, especially in the last 15 years, that most people just go in dumb, blind, and uninformed. Again, this is one channel only. Sorry for this audio.
And parents have to decide, and that's why I'm here. You know, the idea that the state is going to tell me what I can do with my kids. First of all, and the doctors are not going to tell you both sides of the issue. They're not, because they are. They're told by the pharmaceutical industry, which makes billions of dollars, that it's completely safe. And let me tell you, they've gone from when you and I were kids, you had like 8 shots. Now that's up to 70 shots. And
I remember when 19, let me see, doctor, first grade, I was 6. Measles, mumps, diphtheria, there was like 4 or 5, you know, things in a shot. And I remember getting one more. That was it. Did you hear what he said, how many we have now?
Now that's up to 70 shots and multi-shots. And they don't tell you the safety of these things. There's no efficacy study. In other words, if you and I were going to do, if I was going to have a car seat, okay, I was going to say, here's the car seat. You'd have to show some proof that it's a safe seat, right? You'd have to say, here's a thousand accidents with it, and here's 1,000 without it. And they go, okay, you can compare. They have refused to, and no vaccine company, none of the pharmaceutical companies and government tests have done 1,000 kids with the shots and 1,000 without. They refuse to because it's not what they want to hear. Because what they're doing right now is that the pharmaceutical industries are doing fine. They're making billions of dollars, and they're continuing to, they're increasing more shots.
And again, you know, their profit margin is your child. And you trust that? Now, if you trust it and it backfires, you know what? Guess what? You're fucked. But if you go in blind, if you go in as an idiot, not even paying attention to the topic, before a doctor sticks a needle into your child, you deserve it. You deserve it. You call yourself a parent? You're worried about that child? Would you die for that child? Would you do anything to keep that child alive and healthy? Well, here's an idea. Get informed. They've got billions of dollars to spend to turn the tide of opinion. All you have is you and your kids. He's a semi-famous person. And it's not about him being him. It's about him and what he's worried about.
And it's at the cost of our children. Because they don't have the efficacy of these shots have not been proven. And the toxicity of these things, we're having more and more side effects. You're having more and more autism. When you go from autism, which was unheard of in America in 1930, to when it was 1 in 5,000 after seeds started being preserved with mercury, which is the second most toxic.
It's called thimerosal. If you put an active culture into a bottle, that's where the shot is. Like you get the flu shot, there's a little piece of that flu floating around in that liquid. And it has to stay alive. Well, what keeps it alive? Thimerosal, mercury. So it has a shelf life. It's like your milk lasting 3 days on the shelf. I mean, 3 weeks or 4 weeks before they throw it away and you can't buy it and all that. It's the same thing with a flu shot or a vaccination. The company manufacture it. They go in a small bottle. It sits in a truck. It goes, drives 100 miles. It sits on the shelf of some doctor. And 8 weeks later, he gives your kid that shot. The reason that the microorganisms are still alive in it is something called thimerosal. And guess what? In other words, it's the preservatives. It's what keeps the virus alive. Stick it in your kid. Learn something.
Thing on this planet next to plutonium. Yeah. And then you go to, let's go up a couple of decades. By 1990, it was 1 in 200. Now it's 1 in 88. Now, truthfully, it's true that a lot of the autism rates are grouped into one. But there is something that's really happening. And one of the most vulnerable things you can do to a child who doesn't have an immune system is give them a shot. And I'll just give you one example. You take the hepatitis B, okay? Now, hepatitis, you're only going to get that from drug use, and you're going to get that from intravenous drug use, and again, from sexual contact. And yet, they won't let a baby out of the hospital unless insisting on getting the shot. I'm sorry. That's an unnecessary shot that they don't need to have, well, especially when the baby's immune system isn't developed. The baby's immune system is the mother's immune system.
So
it's beyond ridiculous. It's criminal.
Because
here I'm up here, flying up here, to testify to this lunacy. And I can't believe that they're willing to continue this. And people have to stand up. I mean, that's the part about a democracy. People have to step up, and that's what I'm here to do today.
That's, you know, like I said, it's, you know, he's a famous person. Don't take him as gospel. Do your own research. I have a ton of friends that are in their 30s now. And they're getting married and they're, you know, talking about having kids. And they're going to have to make those decisions. Now, do you want to make that decision based on fear or knowledge? Do your research. Because like he said, he went from hardly any autism down to about 1 in 50. So it's either the definition of autism is changing, and some of that is true in that he did acknowledge that, or most of it has something to do with what our babies are being given. Because we trust a big pharmacy and a guy in a white coat because they're official. Now you remove the profit from that. Would they even offer it to you? The whole point when it comes to making that decision is who benefits? Does your child benefit from this, truly benefit, or does a large pharmaceutical company benefit? $1 billion profits. So keep that stuff alive. What leaked in there is what we're going to go into the break with. We will do a Carlin's Corner as well as this, but this is, I can't call him a good friend, but he's an acquaintance. We've had him on the show, and he will be coming to Dangerous Conversation pretty darn soon. His name is Lee Camp, started off as a stand-up, and now he's on RT America doing his own John Stewart, John Oliver type of show. By the way, John Oliver did an incredible breakdown or strip down of Donald Trump. Make sure you find that on the internet as well. But we have a lot of spoken word I want to get to tonight. That includes some not Matt Damon. We just did Matt Damon on the opening. But we're gonna do Lee here. Then we're gonna do a comedian I found, an Aussie guy by the name of Steve Hughes, And in lieu of maybe playing two songs like we normally do on the program, we'll play one. So we're going to do some Lee Camp here, this piece. Then we'll go into the tune. Then we'll go into Steve Hughes, which is technically Carlin's Corner. Then we'll come back, and we should have time for at least three or four more stories. More of Dangerous Conversation as we roll on here.
Welcome to Redacted Tonight. Let me start by saying I think we all just need to stop reading. Just everybody stop reading so much. Because the more you read and learn, the more you realize we live inside a giant lie. Like a massive lie. I'm not kidding. You know when you were a kid and you first found out that Santa Claus is like nothing? Like he's just a fat guy eating cookies and farming little people and boinking your mother. You remember when you learned that, you were like, well, what the hell else is a lie, huh? Are you really my parents? Is this really our house? Is that really a dog? You just tell me to call it a dog, and it's a mangy, deformed tiger suffering from fetal alcohol syndrome. What the hell else is a lie? You remember? At least that's how I was. Well, honestly, our whole world is like that. There's tons of things like that. For example, expiration dates on food. Almost everybody looks at them. You use them to make decisions about your health and your family's diet. And expiration dates mean almost nothing. Literally. Welcome. And each year, about 40% of all food in the United States goes uneaten. It's just tossed out or left to rot. There's like three foods where expiration dates actually matter. Unpasteurized cheese, unpackaged deli meats, and Norwegian ass. And that's like all the other foods, those dates are just there because people think there should be a date. Like it makes you feel good. You know, and even for things that go bad, most aren't more likely to make you sick. They just stop tasting good. And it's illegal for most homeless shelters to use a lot of them. So we're dumping $165 billion of perfectly good food in the garbage because of meaningless dates. Some of them say best if enjoyed by. What the f*** does that mean? What? I want specifics. Like it should say, diarrhea if enjoyed after this date. Oh, thank you. Now I can make an informed decision. Is it a diarrhea night? Not a diarrhea night. Yeah. I was best if enjoyed by age 32, but I'm still here. I'm still here. No one's gotten sick that I know of. Our world is a lie. You want more? Here's another one. There's a pill for drug and alcohol abuse that is hugely effective. Now Trexone can practically cure alcoholism the majority of the time and sometimes other drug addictions. But it's prescribed by doctors about 1% of the time, even though it was approved by the FDA in 1994. Think about the number of lives and families that wouldn't have been destroyed. The number of racist tweets that wouldn't have been sent out. The number of dick pics that would have been kept in the holster, you know? So why haven't we all heard about this? In terms of the number of lives it would save, it's far more important than learning to stop, drop, and roll if you catch on fire. Far more important, because here's another lie. You don't need to be taught to stop, drop, and roll. You don't. If you catch on fire, the stop part is unnecessary. Oh, no, I'm on fire. But these cupcakes aren't going to ice themselves. And the drop part, you can't exactly roll without dropping. You ever try to roll around while standing upright? It's impossible. Impossible. So all you really need is, if you catch on fire, roll. So now that we've cut down that, we have the mental space that we've saved, and we can use that to learn there's a pill that can cure alcoholism. The real reason we haven't heard about that pill is because there's a lot of companies that make a ton of money from alcohol abuse. They love alcohol abuse. Think about it. There are pill commercials to help you deal with twitchy leg syndrome and male pattern baldness, limp penis pandemic, and itchy armpits, heartburn, and bad gas. So where are the commercials for the thing that can stop a dude from slamming down 10 drinks, beating his kids, and driving his car into a bingo hall? Huh? You don't think we should get the word out on that first? Our world is a lie. I don't have time to go through all of the bullshit we're told, but just know that all the colors of Fruit Loops taste the same. All right? Dryer sheets are made out of animal fat. I'm not kidding. And why the fuck are the Super Mario Brothers called the Super Mario Brothers if their names are Mario and Luigi? Shouldn't they be called whatever their last name is? And don't give me this crap about their names are Mario Mario and Luigi Mario. Shut your face! Like one of the Smothers Brothers' names was Smothers Smothers. Look, I hate to use this cliche analogy, but it is like we're in the Matrix. A super shitty version of the Matrix. Where milk just has meaningless dates on it, and they forgot to make Fruit Loops taste different. A snuggly bear coats all your clothing in animal lard. You know, it's just a super stupid Matrix. Why not have a cool Matrix where snow is made from the dandruff sprinkling off of flying unicorn balls? You know? Instead, all we get are unicorn whales? That's a real thing! You put the unicorns in the water on a whale's stupid body? What the f's the matter with you? We're all stuck in like a remedial student matrix, all right? And you know who made the Matrix movies? The Wachowski brothers. Andy Wachowski and Wachowski Wachowski.
Scott Ledger.
Hey, this is Trip from Orlando. You're listening to Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
I mean, this is a gab fest. Yuck, 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 yuck.
Dangerous conversation.
Hey, Old Man River, zip it or I'll break your hip.
Scott Ledger.
But I haven't tried my Wolfman Jack Lady's shaver yet.
It was cold today. Only had a few dollars in a roach of hay. Jumped in my ride and I rolled away. Gas tank on it, don't know the way. Guess I'll find out when I get there. I've been broke before, it don't fit there. I've been told before, it don't sit there. Been there, get up, get out, and get money, dummy. Travel these roads, ties and pothole. In Chicago to Montego, on place Serato, don't seem Soprano. Oh, forgot to mention I'm from Alabama. Guess y'all figure we ain't have a block. All you seen is the bottom, we ain't have a top. All the head I had, not the den was. Folks like me didn't have a shot. But I'm tired of lanes, tired of the game. Tired of motherfuckers, that's tired of chain. But a chain gon' come, oh yes it will. Keep it independent, don't need a deal. It's sunny with the O in the middle. Catching big checks with the O in the middle. Good old times, I'm in the hoes in the middle. Hoes in the middle of your business. Give me a minute, cause I've been looking for a change. If you see him, tell him hi. Cause I've been on this one-way ride. And I only see change from the shit that I buy. But I can't pay for no kind of insight. So if you see change, tell him come on and swing by. Might have voted for Obama, ain't seen no change. Small way rappers trying to get in the game. Why America fist pumps to Jersey Shore. Watching bad girls club trying to stir some more. To keep our mind off the war, what the drama they bring. Is it me or can these idol bitches hardly sing? Searching for the truth, but it's hard to see. I've been waiting by the phone, but it hardly rings with change. Cause that's what I've been looking for. Government said they had to spend it all on the hooker though. She had to sell a piece of ass to get a gallon of gas. And 4 bucks a gallon, it takes all we have. Before the war in Iraq, I was folding stacks. Then they gave away my money to Goldman Sachs. Now we in Afghan, trying to decide the biggest loser. Wake up, it ain't no fat man. Nobody's listening unless it's through auto-tune. Headed for destruction, called it auto-doom. It's a big red button on the desk in the White House. They ever put some motherfucker bitch that's lights out. Before the night's out, the spacious fly land in your backyard. Open up their doors and claim the day yard. Looking like a Nashian, so you go to answer them. I've been looking for a change. If you see him, tell him hi. Cause I've been on this one-way ride. And I only see change from the shit that I buy. But I can't So if you see chains, tell them come on and swing my way. It's funny as the wind has been hitting. I keep dreaming that I wake up hoping you'll be there. Cause all the dollars in my wallet, chains is in my pocket. And if you know, I wanna give up, it's like nobody.
In a life where they judge you on having things, the overload my brain for a flash of change. Some big ass rims and some Gucci shoes. Some beats that I made using Fruity Loops. How many people that I have in my social networks? Followers, fans, friends, and network. Dumb down rhymes, minimize the guesswork. A resident genius, ain't shit on my best work. Nah, not me, I hope change is near. Starting to feel like I'm the only thing sane in here. Looking for a change, why I came in here? If you're looking for a change, well, it couldn't be clear. Change within yourself, homie, look in the mirror. When I thought change died like philanthropy. And they got away with murder, Casey Anthony. I looked in the mirror and it said to me, hey.
I've been looking for a change. If you see him, tell him hi. Cause I've been on this one way ride. And I only see change from the shit that I buy. But I can't pay for no kind of insight. So if you see change, tell him come on and swing by.
Nighttime, out on the ledge.
So let's have a little bit of this. I get the big Bob Marley joint. Look at this. Here, try this.
Ledger.
That's what you are. You are the motherfucking Antichrist.
DC, Dangerous Conversation.
I tried every fucking thing I could fucking think of to mold him into a proper kind of DJ.
Ledgy poo.
And so I played in bands. I played here, actually, in 1989, in a heavy metal band. And I love all forms of heavy metal. I love heavy metal, thrash metal, black metal, death metal, and Enya, actually. Oh, I know you think all thing, it's a bit of a joke. It's not a joke. Most of you haven't listened to Slayer for 8 hours in one day, and, you know, you get up to that type of nonsense. You do need something to relax in the afternoon, don't you? And I did that joke in London one night at the Comedy Store, and this big geezer stands up and he goes, I bloody hate Enya. You hate Enya? It's a bit intense. George Bush is alive. Yeah, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Tony Blair, Donald Rumsfeld, Henry Kissinger. See, these are globalist demons. And this is Enya. Now I'm talking about. I mean, if you're going to hate, hate positively. How can you be upset with Enya? Really, it's just silence coloured in. It's all it is, like being upset with a waterfall. Looking at a flower open and go, that's disgusting. And recently, we had a brilliant time. Recently, I just did a gig. Comedy gig at a heavy metal festival in Derbyshire called Bloodstock. And to tell you people the truth, I don't even know why they bothered getting comics to do the festival, because what they've done, like most things, have become corporate. They stuck a theme park, like rides, within the confines of the ground so people would have something to do besides bands, right? But that made me think, why did they even bother getting comedians? Because I've got to tell you people, there is nothing funnier than a goth on a dodgem. You understand? Out of London for the weekend because that was the time you were having your rights running around. Yeah, it was funny. Just listening to the reporting, that's what I found funny. Just listening to them going, look at them! Looting! Bloody looters! Running around looting. Again, yeah, well, you know, you ever been to the British Museum? So. Where'd you get that Sphinx from? Norwich. Is that your pyramid? Yeah, we found it in the Cotswolds. Is It's under a hedge.
Who'd have thought? You were never a museum if you didn't go looting. You come to the British Museum and look at our squirrel exhibit. Put it in the Spitfire. Make it look more interesting. You help yourself to a Yorkshire pudding on the way out. There you go. You know what I mean? The lies we're inflicted with in the 21st century, the war on terror, to me, is the ultimate one. How can you have a war on terror? What are you talking about? This doesn't even make sense. When's this going to end? When they've got the terror. Relax. It's all gone. We're moving on to horror next. And get those goths out of the dodgem for starters. This is insanity. You can't have a war on terror. What are you having a war on terror, are you? That's right. What does war create? Terror. Exactly. So you're having a war against the consequence of the actions you're involved in. Ours is good terror. It's good, peace, freedom, loving terror, you know. Kind of like terror light, you know. Sort of a diet terror. You know. Sort of, I can't believe it's not terror, you know. It's, and then we deal with that. And then next, what do we deal with? Well, this is all happening. Oh, by the way, the planet's broken. It's all warmed up. And, yeah, we have to fix it. Because we've broken it. And, you know, we've done tests.
Who has?
You know, experts.
Who are they?
Oh, don't worry about it. They're here.
What are you talking about? I don't even believe in it. People freak out. What do you mean you don't believe in it?
I don't believe in it.
You have to believe in it. It's the law!
Well, it's not yet. I'm sure it will be. But until then, no.
Why should I believe in it? What are you talking about? They're running around the world, dropping depleted uranium all over the earth, sitting there letting nuclear weapons off underneath the sea, and the rest of us, what are we going to do?
Sit at home with a special light bulb and a shopping bag for life. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
And at the end of the day, while all this goes on, what else is happening? Well, the X Factor's on the news. This is not normal. It's a TV show. Why is it on the news? It's not normal. When I grew up, The Price is Right wasn't on the news. No, this is not news. This is rubbish. And I'm here to tell you people, being English, the X Factor, what have you done? You should be ashamed of yourselves. You should stop it. I know all countries around the world now have got this kind of stupid shows, but you, especially America, they're too far gone. Doesn't matter about them. And you, what are you up to? You can't have the X Factor. You can't watch the X Factor. This is England. You made Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Venom, Motorhead, Def Leppard, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, The Rolling Stones, The Who, The Beatles, The Smiths, The Cure, The Damned, The Jam, The Police, The Sex Pistols, The Clash, Peter Gabriel, Kate Bush, Jarvis Cocker, David Bowie, Queen, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, Supertramp, Chemical Brothers and The Prodigy. And if you're watching The X Factor after a resume like that, I'm just telling you, you are a bit of a bastard.
Here's Scott Ledger.
I know this before, that much is crazy.
I don't know if anybody's listening. Harley?
Just by watching TNN, he's learned over 20 Southern dialects.
Scott Mitchell.
Dangerous conversation.
You know,
the best part of this show is when I get an email or I get a little Twitter follower. It goes, dude, I checked you out. Heard you on Radio Influencer. Found your old shows. Way to bring it. You know what that is? I'll tell you what it is. It's the simple combination of realizing that if you made $1 million and you had to offer up your soul to do it, would you do it? And I don't mean that in some bullshit religion way, you know, devil and saint. No, I just meant, would you turn your back on humanity and lie to them through your fucking teeth to make a profit? Could you sit behind in your gated community and wake up in the middle of the night and realize that you are truly doing humanity a disservice because you were told to toe the line? And not many of us will have to make that type of, completely polarized A-B selection. But a lot of us are going to have to ask ourselves, what did you stand for? Did you stand for some political party? Did you stand for, you know, what might, I don't know, end more killing on the planet and increase everything from energy resources and education and medical health for the masses? If you stood for that versus what made you a buck or two and what got you the membership at the country club, what would you do with that? And I'm not here to, believe me, I'm nobody's judge, but I do see those little tug of wars going on in people's heads when you talk about things with people. And it depends on what they're connected to. I've had conversations with people that have a government job about things like 9/11 and Building 7. And they know that there are major questions, but they're not going to go public. They're not going to say, oh, I have doubts, I have issues. They're like, hey, man, I'm 18 years into a 20-year payoff. I've got a 401k. I've got government vacations. I've got guaranteed shit. Why should I stick my neck out? If you notice, most of the people that speak out about shit, they're the ones with very little to lose. And that's how it'll always be. It'll always be that way. By the way, hang on a second. Oh, God, did I X out of him already? I did. I got about 3 stories I want to get to. So, all right. Here's another fun one. You're going to love this one. Okay. Students in, what is it, Krivitz? Krivitz High School will face drug tests throughout the new school year. Administrators say that the tests will be carried out at random, and many suspect that the particular students will be targeted based on their appearances. The last couple of years, I've noticed here in the high school, we've started to get a growing drug problem. I think we've always had a drug problem here in Marionette County, Krivitz High School Athletic Director Jeff Dorschner said. More or less, identifying the problem, getting parents involved, and getting our counselors involved in providing a way for students to get back on the right track. Normally, the school would be prohibited from these sorts of random, to keep using that in quotations, drug tests without probable cause. See that whole Fourth Amendment thing? Now, 200 years ago when they wrote that Declaration of Independence and they wrote the Bill of Rights, they didn't picture someone plucking a hair follicle from your head and running a genetic test on it to see if you got stoned at a Dave Matthews concert 3 weeks prior. If I'm not doing anything wrong, I am tired of people not seeing the vice being slowly tightened. And it is. Oh, I've done nothing wrong. I've got nothing. You know what? you're the person that should be the most alarmed. If you haven't, quote, done anything wrong, unquote. And meanwhile, your world gets limited more and more. You're the law-abiding citizen. Don't you see the incremental tightening of your society? When the U.S. government goes to Apple and says, give us a backdoor access, or when grandma now has to officially step inside, or your, I don't know, 13-year-old daughter has to step inside a machine, put her hands over her head, and someone gets a naked x-ray of her, and you're cool with that. Because, well, it's just the way we do things, man. That's just the way that's the way society is. No, it isn't. That's what you're willing to put up with. That's not the way society should be. And you keep making excuses for it over and over and over. Well, now you've got schools that are just plucking hairs indiscriminately out of a student's head because they're wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt. Who knows? Maybe dad's a professor and mom's a botanist. And suddenly, because the guy's in or the girl's into, I don't know, a couple of arm sleeves of tattoos, suddenly they get to test what you've ingested into your body over the last 30 days. How are you fucking good with that? The incrementalism of totalitarianism or fascism isn't seen as one specific event. It's kind of like zoom back and look at the big picture, and you will see it as many events. You know, my daughter's 31. I'll probably be a grandfather in the next couple of years. And I really, honestly hope that my grandchild grows up in a world of abundant energy, abundant knowledge, transparency in government. You know, as I list these things, doesn't it fucking seem comical? Why should it be funny for me to want those things versus where we're headed? But that's okay. Your town might get a new ball stadium. And you might be, oh, wow, my team's staying. Here's an old story. I got time for this? Yeah, I got. Here's an old story. In 2000, just before 9/11, the Taliban, remember how those evildoers? Yeah, they took over Afghanistan. Now, let's talk about the way they treat women. They treat women like shit. Let's face it. And I don't just mean that in some biblical term or some Taliban term or some Islamic term. I'm talking about everything from literally cutting off their clitoris. Because men are so insecure about their sexuality that they have to make sure the woman doesn't receive any pleasure. So I'm not giving the Taliban a hall pass when it comes to a lot of things. But you know what they were? They were anti-drug. And they still are, whatever they are. And guess what grows in Afghanistan? 80% of the world's heroin grows in the poppies of the Afghan fields. And guess what took a major hit in 2000? That's right, opium production. Because the Taliban, and they're all religious fervor, they actually were anti-drug. They torched the opium fields. Well, I wonder who was making money from that. You know, the CIA made money from cocaine in Central America a long time ago. That was how they funded their wars. That's really, if you go back to the mid-80s, Iran-Contra. That's what that's about. You've got a triangle. You've got drugs being produced. It creates money. That money is spent in a third-world country, and that third-world country builds an army to make sure that whatever that oligarchy wants gets done. That's Iran-Contra. That's Oliver North. Okay, so here we are in 2000, about 15 years later, and the world's largest producer of opiates and poppies is Afghanistan, and the Taliban smacks it down And it loses, I think it went from 300 tons a year to 30. Think of that. Now, I'm not saying that that religious organization is for the betterment of mankind, but what I am saying is they were anti-drug. And guess what happened? 9/11. And then we invaded the country, and the opiate production has gone up every single year. And yes, most of the heroin in the upper areas of New York State, or Washington, D.C., or Detroit, most of the heroin that kids, adults, everyone's dying from, guess where it comes from?
You know, it's a shame that nobody talks about Afghanistan anymore, considering how the war is far from over and remains the longest military quagmire in U.S. history. At this point, we should be asking ourselves a very important question. Bin Laden's dead, and Afghanistan's apparently ready to police themselves, so why are we still there? See, aside from U.S. troops still occupying the country, there are over 100,000 private contractors in Afghanistan. And guess what? The Pentagon can't even tell us what the hell they're doing there. But this right here might give you a clue.
It is the most unintended and awkward consequence of our military offensive here in Afghanistan.
Unintended and awkward. This is Geraldo at his best. Unintended and oops. Oh, my goodness. It's so awkward that our soldiers are walking through the middle of opiates and poppy fields, and we haven't torched them with napalm. It's awkward.
Afghanistan. The rout by our Marines of the Taliban from their former stronghold here in Helmand Province has put us in the weird position.
Weird. Being protected. It's awkward and weird. Oops. Your son just died of heroin? Gee, I wonder where that came from. Oh, it's so awkward and weird to admit it. That the, I don't know, what do you call them? What's the CIA? Shadow government? That the shadow government of the United States funds half of its activities through the sale of opiates. And yeah, your kid just OD'd. It's awkward and weird. We apologize.
Largest crop of opium in the world.
Thanks, Geraldo. And guess what, guys? The Taliban had banned and almost completely eradicated opium in Afghanistan shortly before the U.S. invaded.
Almost completely got rid of it in 2000. Because, again, not that the Taliban gets a high five because of the way they treat women. And, you know, believe me, they're extremists. But you know what they were also extremists against? They were against heroin. And then we showed up and things changed.
Let's look at these headlines. The corporate media was even lauding the Taliban's success. Fast forward to today, where over 90% of the world's heroin originates from the war-torn country. According to a report from the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, this year saw opium production surge to a record high. The report said that the harvest this May resulted in 5,500 metric tons of opium, 49% higher than last year, and more than the combined output of the rest of the world. Wow, that's a lot of heroin and a lot of money being made. Someone's got to be reaping the spoils, which brings us back to war, which has always been about two things, resources and control. As reported by Global Research back in 2005, heroin is a multi-billion dollar business supported by powerful interests, which requires a steady and secure commodity flow. One of the hidden objectives of the war was precisely to restore the CIA-sponsored drug trade to its historical levels and exert direct control over the drug routes.
Now, think about this for a second. I read this the other day, and it took me a little while for it to sink in, but then I realized, oh, my God, that's so true. That if you produce a car, it takes energy to extract the metals. It takes energy to form those metals. It takes people to run those machines and build that car. In other words, the cost of producing the car or the truck is almost substantial because of the cost of metals and labor and so on. You know what drugs are? Drugs are like a 10,000% increase in profits. You grow a plant. You extract it, you refine it, and you sell it for 100 times its weight. It's worth way more than gold per ounce. And it's reproducible. It is. You can keep the flow. It's not like you can't just invent a gold mine where gold flows out of a wall and somehow gold becomes so. Do you get where I'm going with this? Drugs are incredibly profitable. That's why crack did so well in the 80s. That's why heroin is making a comeback. Because you grow a bunch of plants, you put some water on them, you extract it, you refine it. You've seen blow. You see the difference between the money he was making with weed versus coke? Well, think of the same thing. Who controls that? How does it get here? Who refines it? Turkey, by the way. And how has it flown into our country? Well, if you look back to Vietnam, they were smuggling heroin and weed back with corpses. True. Look it up. So if you think you're in Afghanistan for freedom or democracy, you need to rethink it.
Of course, according to Geraldo, it's nothing more than an uncomfortable fluke that the U.S. military happens to be guarding the largest opium supply in the world. I guess we're also supposed to believe that this discovery of Afghanistan's $1 trillion worth of untapped minerals...
Oops! You know all those mountains they got there and all those... Yeah, $1 trillion in minerals. A trillion with a T. Oh, we're over there fighting for freedom. Yeah, I don't want to use a derogatory term that I've heard many times. I'll just say those people that wear cloth on their heads, they want us dead. They don't like our freedom. You're so uninformed. And you know what? You don't care. That sucks. You know what matters? Mostly the people I play on this show. People that play that tell you the truth. People that are willing to say, you know what? Gee, I wonder what the world would be like if. I wonder what the world would be like if more people were actually educated to what the real issues are versus what they see on the cover of their newspaper, or, you know, they're sitting at the bus stop or they're driving by the Dunkin' Donuts and they see that USA Today and they see their local paper and they see like three or four headlines and they think they're informed. You are anything but. You're a tool. And I don't mean that a tool as in an asshole. I mean as a tool as in you are a manipulated mind. And your manipulated mind joins the minds of many other manipulated minds. And in that, the truth falls through the cracks. Because you know what happened? A couple of weeks ago, I'm online, minding my own business. I get a PM on Facebook. Ledge, I listen to you here and there. I live up north. My niece just died of a heroin overdose. I'm angry. I'm confused. I'm pissed off. What do you say to that person? Oh, don't worry, because, you know, we're over there fighting freedom. And we've been there for 14 years. Like our comedian said, fighting a noun, the war on terror. The perpetual war that George Orwell talked about in 1984. All of this shit is coming true. I swear to God, 15 years ago, if you had come to me and described how it would be in 2016 on February 2nd on the show, I would laugh at you and go, what are you, nuts? The world's in a great place. We're not. But that's okay. Because you got 1,090 channels. You got sports. And believe me, I love my distractions. I am a sports fan. But you know what? Sooner or later, you are going to have to pay attention. Because it will affect you. That's when it bites you in the ass. That's when you lose your mortgage. That's when your grandparents are upside down in their house. And you go, how did this happen? Will you do the work? Or will you just go, you know what? I'm gonna turn on WWE because there's a huge fight going on tonight, and I just need to bury myself in that. I'm not here to tell you what you should do with your life. I'm here to tell you what's going to come up and bite you in the ass. It is the truth. It is finding its way through every possible portal on the planet. Blogs, video casts, podcasts, broadcasts, artwork, you name it. You think for a second that the world, 7.5 billion people, are going to sit around and let some stupid empire tell the world what to do? You don't think that it will not push itself back? You know, like Newtonian physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You don't think that's not coming? Then you're naive. And you're stupid. You're stupid because you're willing to sit around with your thumb in your ass, your fingers in your ears. Well, I guess you can't do that at the same time. But you know what? It will find you. I didn't make up the rules. I'm just starting to finally notice how it works. And you cannot hold truth back forever. It simply is impossible. And now we have this amazing thing called the internet. And guess what? That internet is, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about a podcast. It's not about a show. It's not about anything except the truth finds a way. And those changes and that awareness and that elevation of consciousness and all of the things that we can be are coming, but it's going to be an ugly birth. It simply is. And the reason it's going to be that way is because too many of us are still willing to bury our heads in the sand and not give a fuck. Well, guess what? That's not what this show's about. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not the only one. I'm one of many, many programs out there where people are going to make up their own minds. And if you can't do that, if this show doesn't jive with you, crawl back in your hole. You'll be good. But by the time you get to be as old as a lot of people are in their 60s and 70s, you go, you know what, son of a bitch. That crazy-ass Ledge guy, he kept just every week, he just kept bringing up shit that made me think. And eventually, I had to. Good. Thank God. See ya.
This is Vincent Hill. You've seen me on CNN, HLN with Nancy Grace, Al Jazeera, and True Crime with Aphrodite Jones, just to name a few. Now I've got my own show on Radio Influence, and I'll be taking you beyond the badge. I'll take you behind the scenes and into the minds of those following and investigating America's top news stories. Beyond the Badge with me, Vincent Hill, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Radio Influence family. Let's enjoy this ride as I take you beyond the badge.